Perry is hinting that President Obama's administration wanted to create the immigrant children crisis.
We sent a letter, laid out what was happening with the unaccompanied minors that were showing up at the border, and we told them, said, if you do not address this, here is what's going to happen. And we're seeing that become reality today.
Perry told ABC's This Week he's suspicious of Obama waiting until last week to request more funding for border security. He also criticized the administration for not devoting more border protection resources to Texas. Last week, Perry implied the administration somehow helped immigrants from Central America reach the U.S. Meanwhile, thousands of undocumented children are streaming into the U.S. from Mexico and Central America. The administration has said they will be returned to where they came from. The forecast calls for a partly cloudy sky tonight with a low around 74. It'll be mostly sunny on Tuesday with a high around 93. Currently, it's partly cloudy and 92 degrees in San Antonio. I'm Steve Short. That's Texas Public Radio News on KSTX.
Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. The United States has a distinct technological advantage on the battlefield, and it's an advantage that other countries would do anything to get hold of. And a book that comes out tomorrow tells the incredible story how an Iranian agent tried to get some of the best tech, military tech that America has, and how Homeland Security stopped him and ended up putting him in jail. That story is told in the book Operation Shakespeare. It's written by investigative reporter John Schiffman. John, welcome to The Source.
Thanks for having me.
John, tell me about how important is it that the United States keep certain technology out of the hands of potential hostile governments like China, Iran, North Korea, Russia, and Pakistan?
Well, you know, it's a real threat to U.S. national security, but more directly, it's a real threat to American troops. In our current wars and those we may fight in 5, 10, 15 years from now. So the book uses the background of Operation Shakespeare, Sting, to describe how the Iranians, the Chinese, the Russians, the Pakistanis systematically try to acquire American military technology. Because on today's battlefield, it's the most lethal weapons or can be the smallest ones, some of them just the size of a dime. It's not just the guns and the bullets that matter as much anymore. It's more like microchips and gyroscopes that steer missiles and radar cloaking and night vision technology, that sort of thing.
So what length will those governments go to get hold of that tech?
Well, it's fairly sophisticated. Each country does it differently. Iran, Russia, China, they all have their ways of trying to acquire American technology. U.S. has laws to try to prevent the export of military technology from the United States. But it's very easy to get around because all the other countries do is they have the material sent to places like Dubai or Singapore or Hong Kong, or even Europe, and then they simply divert it to Tehran or to Beijing or any number of places.
So they set up shell companies that will act as a buyer, but actually it is a fake. It's been set up by these foreign governments.
That's right. I mean, usually they have a cutout or a middleman to try to distance themselves. And in the case of the person that was targeted in Operation Shakespeare, what he would get was he would get orders, and they would come by a fax instead of email, so that he would have to take them and then retype them out onto his screen so that he couldn't make a mistake or get lazy and just forward the request. And he would get scores of requests throughout the day from various parts of the Iranian military and Iranian government. And then he would go online, and he would try to find American companies where he could try to buy this stuff, like radar, electronic components, sonar, all sorts of different things. And then he would have them shipped to a mail drop in Dubai. The Chinese, they also send people to the United States to buy them. It's legal to buy these things inside the United States. And then what the Chinese agents do is they try to smuggle them out. Same with the Iranians. The Russians, the Iranians, and the Chinese all have various networks, both in Iran, China, and Russia, but then also inside the United States and in Western Europe to try to buy all these things.
Is it the intellectual property of that microchip that's so hard for them to get hold of? And once they get hold of one, can they backward engineer that thing?
You know, it's really interesting. We all think that cyber espionage today is all the rage and that's what we really have to protect. But when the U.S. undercover agents in Operation Shakespeare finally got to meet with the Iranian, he explained to them why the physical theft is just as important. You see, he said that just because you can steal the blueprints for American weapons and defense items doesn't mean that you can easily manufacture them. Because for most high-tech components, factory startup costs are too high for a nation like Iran or China. It's just not cost-efficient. And for others, we're talking about fingernail-sized technology. It's just too hard to replicate. Either way, it's just easier and cheaper for them to steal what they need.
How big of a priority is this for the United States government to keep that tech out of the hands of the bad guys?
Well, you know, the U.S. government says that it's one of the top priorities, and President Obama has said that counterproliferation is a top priority. But this is a serious national security issue, and I think that the government could do more to address it. You know, all the right people came together in this case to make a great investigation, pull off something really audacious. I mean, they showed that it can be done. Then afterward, the U.S. government really didn't seem to have the will to do much to follow up on it. And, you know, it's incredibly important because we're talking about the lives of U.S. troops who could be fighting in battles. And, you know, the point here is that our export laws are designed to protect our troops. And, you know, in the book, I open with the story of a young lieutenant, Seth DeVorn, who was killed in Iraq by a remote control IED. And like the Iranian arms dealer targeted in Operation Shakespeare, this lieutenant, you know, he's killed by a remote control IED, and later the Americans will discover these remote control triggers made in the United States in factories in Arizona and Minnesota, and they're hidden inside IEDs that they find in Iraq and Afghanistan. So essentially, the U.S. government was able to trace the shipments from the United States to Dubai or Singapore and then to Iran. And what this means is that someone in Iran was buying these IED triggers from the United States and then smuggling them to insurgents in Iraq and Afghanistan for use against American forces.
And so this is technology is having direct impact when it gets, sold under the table to these people. When the bad guys get it, they use it right against our own servicemen and women.
They can. I mean, and this goes to night vision. And one of the things that the Iranian arms dealer in Operation Shakespeare, he's meeting with the agents, and the agents met with him for 5 or 6 hours one day, and then 2 or 3 hours for another day. And they had long conversation with him, and they learned a lot about the Iranian procurement process. And one of the things that he explained to them was that the Iranians can duplicate many things up to a point, and night vision is a good example. There are special tubes and countermeasures that the Iranians, even if they have the blueprints, they can't replicate. And the United States has this tremendous advantage right now at night. The Army tries to fight at night as often as possible because we have vastly superior night vision. We dominate the seas and we dominate the ocean because our sonar is and our submarines are vastly superior to everybody else's. And, of course, our stealth aircraft in the air are vastly superior. And it gives us this tremendous advantage. It saves lives. It also prevents plenty of conflicts because people are too intimidated to take on the U.S. military.
So not only do they have to sort of launder how they sell this technology, but they definitely have to launder the money. How are the banks involved, particularly banks like Credit Suisse?
Well, what's really interesting about this is how much the banks, some of the biggest names in international banking have contributed to this, and they have skirted the sanctions, and Credit Suisse was among the worst offenders. What they did was they actually put out marketing brochures so that if you were in Iran or you had an Iranian name and you lived in Dubai or Saudi Arabia and you wanted to do business with the United States or do business in Switzerland or with the company, they would change your name to person A or person B, and they would simply take out any Persian-sounding name and strip it out of the routing so that none of the European or the American banking authorities would know that this money was going to and from Iran. The Iranian arms dealer in Operation Shakespeare, he routed a lot of his money through Credit Suisse, about 24 different transactions. And what he would do is he would send it first from Tehran to Germany or first from Switzerland, from Tehran to Switzerland, and then somebody else would change it to a different account, and then they would send a separate transaction back to the United States. And most of these companies, most of these banks were caught between 2007 and 2009, and they paid billions, maybe trillions in fines after the United States went inside and got all of the documents.
Okay.
Showed.
All right, John, we're going to take a quick break. We're talking to John Schiffman, author of Operation Shakespeare, True Story of an Elite International Sting, trying to keep American technology out of the hands of some hostile governments. This is The Source on KSTX. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Operation Shakespeare. It's a book. New book comes out tomorrow. In it, we learn about a Homeland Security sting operation. It reads like a Tom Clancy fiction spy novel, but this is the real stuff. And this is how a Homeland Security team was able to actually lure an Iranian agent out of the shadows, and were able to arrest him and put him in jail, keeping precious American technology out of the hands of hostile governments. So, John Schiffman, in this book, let's talk about the story that you tell in the book. Let's talk about Amir. He's the bad guy, right?
Well, he wouldn't call himself a bad guy, and certainly when I talked to him, but yes, he's the target of Operation Shakespeare. He is about 33 years old. He lives in Shiraz, Iran, which is in southern Iran, and he worked for a while for the Iranian defense agencies, and trying to solicit technology from the United States. And then he went to work. He learned he could make more money by being a middleman and taking orders and working directly with American defense contractors.
Was Amir just unlucky, or was he sloppy? Why was he the one that got busted?
You know, I think, he was prolific. And the reason they called this Operation Shakespeare, the agents, is because he sent so many requests for quotes. So that's why they called it Shakespeare.
So he was asking for price quotes, like how much would this piece of equipment cost?
Exactly. He sent them at least 600 quotes in a year. And he's representative. He's typical. There are dozens of people like him. He's not some caricature of some Dr. No arms dealer sitting on some yacht somewhere. What he is he's real life. He's the kind of guy who buys this sort of thing. And he was dealing in the millions of dollars. It wasn't like he was dealing in very small quantities or small dollar amounts. I mean, he was, but he was also dealing in very large amounts. And I would just call him representative.
Yeah, so there's other Amirs out there doing the same thing every day, trying to get hold of American technology. Let's talk about this Homeland Security investigation team. Who were these guys that stopped him?
Sure. Well, the one agent who began the investigation, his name is P.J. Lechleitner, and he set up an undercover arms brokerage outside of Philadelphia. He set it up in a strip mall between a dentist's office and a chiropractor's office. And he tried to portray himself as an import-export broker. His supervisor was someone who had moved back to Philadelphia, a very interesting guy, had a long career as a street cop in Philly, but also as running U.S. Homeland Security's National Counterproliferation Unit. But he was from Philadelphia. He wanted to come back and work his last couple of years. You had a prosecutor who had been in military intelligence for a long time, was a reserve in the U.S. Navy. And you also had an agent who was based in Germany, who had been there for 30 years and spoke Russian, and so they were able to go undercover. What you have is you have five or six really amazing characters who all come together and are able to pull off a first-of-its-kind sting against Iran.
Our phone lines are open. If you got a question for John Schiffman, author of the book Operation Shakespeare, the true story of an elite international sting, it's been picked up for development for Hollywood, right, John?
Right. Legendary Pictures, which has done movies like a variety of movies from Hangover to the 300 series to Inception. They've done a whole bunch of different kinds of movies, and they just bought the rights to the movie about a month ago. And it should be a lot of fun.
Congratulations on that. The number is 210-614-8980, 614-8980. So if you've got a question for John about his book and this operation. So these American agents from Homeland Security, were they breaking new ground when they decided they were going to do this sting?
They were, because what had happened in the past is that that somebody from Iran or China would order something that illegal from overseas, and the U.S. government would simply keep the deposit, or they would indict them, and it was very hard for them to to extradite somebody. And, or they would lure the person to the United States, or the person was stupid enough to come to the United States, and then they would arrest them. What makes this case very different is that this is the first time they were able to lure a prolific arms dealer from Iran, and they lured him to the Republic of Georgia, where the U.S. has very good relations with Georgia. And they were able to film him for about 6 or 7 hours and go into detail in this in the book, where he lays out how Iran does all of its arm dealing and its procurement methods. And the other thing that the agents were able to do were they were able to seize his laptop. And on that laptop, they had about 4 or 5 years' worth of deals that the arms dealer had been working on. So they got a sense not just of what he was buying, but what Iran needs. You know, their air force is fairly crippled, and so is their navy. And they had, you know, they need various parts. And this was really an intelligence boon for the United States because we were able to figure out precisely what Iran needed in very specific ways.
Why was Iran so intent on getting this equipment? Were they gearing up for something?
Well, during the sting takes place in 2007 at the height of some very strong tension between the United States and Iran, not that there isn't tension now, and they kept asking Artabelli, the Iranian arms dealer, they said, why is it that you, why is Iran buying so many things? And he said, they think the war is coming. They think that the United States is going to attack Iran. And if you think about it, it makes sense. Iran is bordered by both Afghanistan and Iraq. And at the time, the United States was heavily involved in both countries, and the assumption was that Iran was next.
And in the United States, we had a hot presidential election going on between John McCain and Barack Obama, and at that time it was still up for grabs.
Yeah, absolutely. And there was, you know, there was a lot of political rhetoric at the time, and also at the time, the Iranian president, Ahmadinejad, had just visited the UN in New York. He had just made his very controversial remarks about gays and about the Holocaust. And it's fascinating the timing about this, because he did that about 5 days before these Iranians, I'm sorry, before the American agents landed in Georgia for the undercover operation. You know, I don't want to ruin the story, but the big moment of tension does come when, at about that time, you know, October 1st, 2007, the agents are waiting for the Iranian at the airport. Other agents are back in the hotel room making last-minute preparations, making sure the hidden video is working and everything. They don't know what to expect. You know, is he going to show up? Is he who he says he is? Are the Iranians going to run a reverse sting on them? They have no idea. They're very nervous. They spent $1 million, 3 years telling their bosses, hey, this is really important. We've got to continue this. And they don't want to go home fools.
In the book, there's an interesting character, the white man, who I think maybe Sean Connery should play him in a film.
I think the white man would be flattered. The white man is a British arms dealer who had been involved in the arms trade for about half a century. And he's a fascinating guy. He likes to tell people that he said, I'm so despicable that people like me shouldn't exist. He's worked with the Stasi. He's worked with the North Koreans. He's worked with the Iranians. He worked with Robert Mugabe. And toward the end of his career, he was approached by the Americans and started working as their informant. So there's some scenes in the book where he comes to the United States and he helps train the agents. There's also a scene where he goes to Dubai and he meets with a major Iranian arms dealer, and he tries to elicit them, and he tries to get this arms dealer to help out. What he's really good about doing is introducing the American undercover agents to other arms dealers. So he's a very good, what they call, vouch, and he sets them up. He's a fascinating guy. He has absolutely no morals whatsoever, though.
And the story takes you all around the world. At one point, the Sting team goes to the Dubai Air Show. What's the significance of the Dubai Air Show?
The Dubai Air Show is one of the biggest air shows in the world, and that is where the white man goes. He goes with two undercover American agents, and while the American agents are there, they also meet with some Pakistani arms brokers who are trying to buy things for the Pakistani government. there's a lot going on at the Dubai Air Show. Billions and billions of dollars and deals are announced each every couple of years when they have the air show. But it's the side deals that I think are the most fascinating, because arms dealers, black market arms dealers, go there too. And this is one thing the white man would say. He'd say, you know, you call it the black market, but it's only the black market because the United States says it's the black market, or whatever the rules are for the United States. You know, the way that the white man sees it, the way the Iranians and the Chinese see it, they're not breaking any of their laws. And so they come, they make connections, and later they hope to turn those into lucrative deals.
So Amir gets picked up, gets pinched, gets 5 years in the Huskow. Other companies, U.S. companies, are found on that laptop having done business with him. What happened to them?
Right. Well, that, I think this is one of the more surprising things is that you know, the U.S. agents, they do all this work. They come up with all of these other deals, and they're unable to bring charges against many others, many other companies. In some cases, they went and just visited them, and they told the people very quietly, that these major companies, hey, this deal that you did here was with an Iranian arms deal. You may not have realized it. The problem with the U.S. law is, in terms of fairness, is that you have to know that you're dealing with an arms deal. You have to know that you're breaking the law. And in many cases, the agents were not able to prove this. But they were able to spread the word among other agents, and to lecture them and to train them and to use it. And this book is actually going to be used by the U.S. government to train future counterproliferation agents, to show them that, you know, that you can do this. You can take chances. And if you do take chances, you might fail, but you might come home with a home run.
Trying to keep the American technological advantage on the battlefield. The name of the book is Operation Shakespeare, the true story of an elite international sting. John Schiffman, your book comes out tomorrow. Congratulations.
Thanks a lot for having me.
All right. This is The Source on KSTX. Thanks for listening.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Chris Udaly is the TPR web editor. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.